Welcome to our show today.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Very excited to be here in 2015 with everyone listening. Today we're going to talk about taking time out for your life.
What a great topic.
No better topic than living in the present moment.
Actually taking time to smell the roses.
Yeah, literally, you know. we get so busy with our daily lives and our daily anxieties and paying the bills and working and worrying about every little thing.
Absolutely crazy. So David and I have decided for our New Year's resolution to take time out to live.
So important. I mean, it's about happiness, isn't it? It's about finding joy. It's about doing the things that are important to you. And if we're always worried and anxious about getting things done that we don't necessarily like doing, are we living at all? Are we really living our lives, or are we just slaves?
Having nervous breakdowns.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, this is all, of course, based on experience and even recent experience for us. And so we're going to talk about these things. And we have our special guest. We were supposed to have Jonah Bolt on. Unfortunately, Jonah had internet connection problems.
So we're very happy that
Susan Glenn, absolutely.
Join us. Hello, yep. Susan. How are you?
Hello, guys. It's great to be speaking to you. And, we Australians definitely love being happy. And I was dancing along to the music while you began. I think it's terrific that you've invited me to fill the gap for Jonah and really, really burn some rubber into the new year.
Go, girl.
Yes. You're definitely the one to do it.
Yeah.
So, yes, Susan, what's your New Year's resolution?
I think that my relationship with myself has been something I'm hoping to make it my priority in the last probably 6 weeks before the end of the year. And so basically coming to looking at more what is going to honour me, what's the best use of my time, what's my next top priority thing to do, and staying as present to the moment and the flow of that as I possibly can. Just keeping it really simple to that.
Well, I guess that's very much like taking time out to live life.
Isn't it about simplifying your life? The KISS concept, keep it simple, stupid. Really, it's
KISS.
I guess that's a sort of a negative way of saying it. But yeah. Simplifying your life is really important. And you know, and I know, Susan, you're a healing codes, you're a certified healing codes practitioner, and you're a sort of a personal development coach in our network, and you're very much, you know, sort of into helping people perceive reality in a more positive way, in a way that that's more success oriented, and helps them with their personal growth in terms of finding what they really want in life.
And what a great way to put it! Taking time out to assess your relationship with yourself, having a good relationship with yourself.
Absolutely,
the most important relationship, you could say, because if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, you can't have a good relationship with other people.
No, you can't. If you're so unhappy with yourself, is anyone going to be happy with you? Are you happy with them? You know, it has to start within yourself and with self-love. And Susan is probably, I think, an expert at that, really, at just knowing yourself and being in touch with your feelings and knowing how to adjust your thoughts and feelings. So I think that's what you wanted to focus on, Susan. Is that right?
Absolutely, David. There's a toolkit of things that I utilize with that. But one of the things that's fascinating is that those people around us are the reflection of how we can grow more love in our lives, more love in ourselves, for ourselves, and also they can then be the object of us being able to give our love. And you notice that I actually came with the receiving first, because in many of our cultural programmings, a lot of the stuff that we're given, first of all, is, oh, you've got to give, 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 give. Well, that's terrific. And then suddenly you look at your love bank statement and it says, sorry, guy, you're just, you're on a zero. And you think to yourself, okay, what do I do now? My battery is empty and my bank is empty. And my love bank needs to be refilled. How do I do that? So,
it sounds like it's a bit like taking a loan out to love yourself.
What's best for me now is, in this very moment, is the best question to ask, and then flow on from there. I use those tools, but also there's another thing. When your personal focus is on yourself from a kind and caring and honouring point of view, it's a very different resonance that you give out to other people than that of being selfish or vain or self-possessed. That kind of resonance is uncomfortable to other people. They can tell when you respect yourself. When you respect yourself, it invites respect from others.
Mm. That's a really important point.
The respect, yes, and the respect stuff, yes.
That is a very important point, and I guess it's a subtle shift, but it's an important shift, isn't it?
Yes, it is subtle, and sometimes because we're very caught up, we've got a lot of stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of pressure to know this and understand that, and you've got to manage this, and you must do that, and that has to be in on time, and yes, but that's all terrific. But the most important thing is an intimate relationship with yourself and your immediate circles of influence, the people that spend the most time in and around you. And the fine detail of that is true, honest communication with yourself and then with them. And that produces the intimacy that you're looking for. And the reason, I mean, we started this show with that cute little Pharrell Williams song of Happy. And I can remember standing in the shop just before Christmas, and the shop was playing it. And one of the girls on the checkout said, "Oh, I can't stand that song. It just makes me feel so uncomfortable."
Oh, man.
And the next girl said, "Oh, but I love it." And I was nodding away, and I thought, wow, there's that other girl. She finds it uncomfortable. Why does she find it uncomfortable? Because she cannot allow herself to be happy, is the baseline. And sure, you have to drill down a few layers of yourself to sense that that's what's going on.
Wow.
Yeah, what's interesting about that song is I think that was one of the first, I heard that song during one of the first dates I had with Lana here, and you were actually... I think you were, I'm sure you were there, maybe, so that, you know, that song has a special meaning to us.
It's sort of become our song, hasn't it?
And I do remember, you know, Lana was very happy at that time, listening, we were both were at that time, and so.
And there's something, there is something very special about that song, because it, I guess it is focused on yourself, but there's a sense that the energy then radiates out to touch other people. So, yeah, very befitting that that song started things.
Mm.
Now, Susan and David, I want to talk about actually the practicalities of how to do this, because the idea that other people can sense when you've shifted, that is just such a fundamentally important thing, but it's hard to do.
It is. It's very hard.
So let's talk about what does a person who doesn't put themselves first, what does that sort of person look like and feel like to another person versus the person who is still loving and giving but respects and loves themselves? What's the difference? How would we see it? How would another person sense the difference between those two people?
All right. So I can speak about how it was for me, because years ago I was one of those people who I would have described very self-possessed and very much for certainly the guys in my life, a real packet of barbed wire to try and deal with. One of those women that was, you know, they never quite knew what they were going to have happen next, and not an easy person to deal with. I didn't feel comfortable in me with that. And as I began to make changes with myself, and for about the last two decades now, I've been utilising, I just suddenly started to do some energy healing trainings, and they made me recognise right away that I was doing life backwards. I was thinking life backwards. I wasn't actually getting to the cause of what was driving me and making a difference to that. And I was also wanting to make that change. I actually wanted to make the change. The decision that you make for yourself in the next moment is absolutely key. Making agreements with yourself and setting it, because if you send out a resonance to that immense creative energy that is listening to us, and for some people that's their spirit guide, for some people it is God, for some people it's universal consciousness, for some people it's their guardian angels, it doesn't actually matter, and for some people it doesn't exist at all. Now, I don't know what that would be like to have to deal with that, because from a very little kid, I've always sensed there's a guiding energy around. And I do talk to that. I do listen to my own heart and synchronize the two the best I can. And oh boy, do I fall off the wagon some of the time. Yes, absolutely. And when I sense I've got the horse behind the calf, I quit with whatever I'm doing and get that alignment back. Because if we listen to quantum physics, and quantum physics is telling us that it's the resonance we put out into the world, that is what people sense and hear. So people began to say to me, particularly my friends, when I started doing this energy stuff, oh, Susan, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm just finding out that we're doing life backwards. And from that point on, I was beginning to get more and more real with myself and recognizing that the fears that I held were a vibration that were not only uncomfortable in my thinking pattern, uncomfortable to my heart and also uncomfortable to my body, but it was resonating out to other people. And so I was thinking, so if I clear my fears, that is going to actually assist me to, I suppose, clarify the vibration I'm putting, the output. So that's what I began to do. As that started to happen, people would come back to me, and I might just be talking to a friend on the phone, and I would sometimes be using my little energy tools on myself, and I would be sitting there listening to the person and feeling into what they were saying, giving them their answers and just chatting backwards and forwards, discussing whatever. At the end of a call, so many times people would say, oh, I just feel so much better. I actually feel quite energized after talking to you. This has been such a good call. That was a big breakthrough for me. I hadn't realized people were getting that from me. And
you
it just made me
new vibrations, weren't you?
To be around, I guess. Sorry?
So you were actually raising their vibrations, weren't you, as well? It's quite contagious,
isn't it? That's another thing that's going on. Yes, Lana.
Yes.
We think that sometimes we tend to think that only one thing is going on at any one given moment. But in point of fact, it's a little bit like the activities in a massive, great, big, multi-story building, way bigger than anything Dubai has so far built. And everything that's going on every floor, those activities are the same going on in us. There's just so many different things going on at the one time. And as you get calmer, as you get calmer in yourself, so you are then finding that you can sense more of the multiple things that are going on in yourself, and then also you begin to be able to sense the same multiple things going on in others. In other words, you begin to empathize better.
These are issues that happen on many levels of consciousness within ourselves and in our energy networks and the universe.
And of course, they're all interrelated.
And yes, it's all oneness and it's all happening in the now, of course, which is why we say you've got to focus your thoughts on the now and be conscious of the now and your thoughts and your feelings in the moment, in the present moment. So
now I'm glad that we've been focusing on the relationship you have with yourself. I think that's really important. There is another big factor, though, that is just as important. And that is the concept of non-attachment, Buddhist Eastern philosophy concept of non-attachment. I think that's a fascinating concept. It can be hard to grasp until you've actually experienced it.
That's because it has to do with you know, that you can only control what's within yourself and your own thoughts and feelings and actions and behavior, as opposed to what everything else, everyone else and everything else that's going on outside of you is doing and influencing you. It's that as within, so without concept. And you have to know your boundaries and you have to know what you can do. And it goes along with the serenity prayer of changing the things you can and recognizing the things that you can't, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And applying
that in life, knowing that, you know, you can't necessarily control the outcomes of things that are going on outside of you. So
and about the idea of boundaries is a really important one. So I guess if you think that you can control everything, then you'll find out you can't control a single thing.
You might be unhappy and frustrated when you find out that somebody else might want to do something different from what you want.
However, if you put your boundaries down and recognize that you can't control everything, then you can have a reasonable amount of control.
Filters.
If you are non-attached. Now, this concept of non-attachment is such that you do not have to be specific about your outcome. You can know what you want, you can know the feel of what you want, but then you can release it to the universe and you can say, I'm now not going to worry about the exact form, I'm going to be flexible and take the opportunities as they present themselves, and I'm going to keep on going until I get that sort of thing that you want.
Having that winning attitude and being success driven, but being non-attached to the outcome and not having such high expectations that outcome will necessarily manifest out of the unlimited possibilities and all the influences that are coming at you.
That's right. Now let me give a really good example. I've just been through a really difficult few days, probably because of attachment. So,
and someone else's expectations.
That's right.
Of
so
you.
I have an adolescent daughter who needs to have an operation, and she wants to have that operation done before she starts school. We had a surgeon, and the operation was booked. However, we just didn't have enough money to pay for it at that time because I wasn't going to be paid for a few weeks. Now, we fretted. We all fretted. We tried and tried and did everything possible to try to make sure we could fund that operation. And it didn't happen. It wasn't. The universe was just resisting me.
Well.
And guess what? We found another surgeon, and we can do it in a week's time.
So was the universe really resisting you, or were we just flexible enough to see that there are other surgeons in the area and in the world, and there are other times that this can be done?
We were just being stupid and obsessional and thinking that that was the only way to get the outcome, which is stupid.
Okay.
And it's great when you can get the flexibility.
Hmm? Be kind to yourself. It's not stupidity, darling. I would say to you, you know, when you look at the situation you've just had, maybe that first surgeon and the way that that person would go about what they were going to be doing was not going to give your little daughter the outcome that was going to be really perfect and in alignment for her, whereas the second, you needed to get past that first situation and allow the flow to bring you the person that was going to be and the situation that was going to be in a perfect alignment for her, which will give her a better outcome. And we won't be able to know what that will be until we get there. Now, maybe not everything will go perfectly in terms of what you might judge it to be at the time, but the odd thing is that even the things that are a little bit uncomfortable and a bit difficult to deal with can give you experiences that bring you around at the finish of it and say, wow, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have had that perception. I wouldn't have had this experience, and it wouldn't have been as rich an outcome for me. And I got the operation done as well.
That's certainly a possibility. The other possibility is it doesn't really matter who does it. And in terms of stupidity, and this is a general comment on humanity, because we all have to wise up. We can all be wise in certain areas of our life, but all of us can be less than wise in other areas. And it's important to, I think, grow and recognize the importance of not attaching yourself to a specific outcome. And if there's resistance, to actually look around for other ways of doing things.
And absolutely. We're the source of our creativity, and we're the source of everything we manifest, and it's all within it. That's our inner power that Susan's talking about, is that ability to...
But that's actually not a relationship you have with yourself. I would argue that's a relationship you have with the universe. And I think perhaps sometimes we're hard on the universe. We expect the universe to do things this way, and we get very upset if it's not done exactly that way.
Well, in my mind, the universe exists within us, and the creator exists within us, and we are co-creators of the universe and of reality. So this is as above, so below, and we're all working as one. So we want to work in alignment with the universe. But these are all,
And I would definitely add to that too, that with attachments, we are sometimes getting in the way of that creating energy of the universe showing us what we didn't know that we didn't know was going to be the best thing for us if we would just shut up, let go, and allow ourselves to, and I mean shut the mind, because the mind can chatter at us and have a lot of fear about letting go. For some people, the idea of just going through those dot points of really good activities you guys were talking about a moment ago, Lana, some people would find that their brakes go on at 100 miles an hour when people say just let go, because their fear to hold on and their neediness to get whatever they're attached to, the vibrations of that are shouting much louder than their capacity to give themselves any kind of letting go. And what needs to happen in that is to change the vibration and then the neediness, get that out of the way because it's just a series of hurdles, and clear your path so that then you are in a place where the concept of letting go isn't a fearful one.
That's true, and that's about getting our lessons, and sometimes we have to go through these things, and someone once told me that we can't skip those levels, and it's important to get those lessons, that's just part of my own school of life, personal growth philosophy, and that works well for me. So I know what you're saying, and Shalana does too.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like one of the ways to recognize, Susan, it sounds like one of the ways to recognize these things is to see whether you're feeling good or frightened within yourself. Maybe that takes some time to recognize, because being motivated and continuing to put effort in, being motivated and continuing to put effort into things. Can you hear me, Susan?
I can. I'm trying to make a point there that there's no effort involved. The noticing of how you feel is your guideline, and if you notice that you are feeling fearful or distressed about something, you then are able to say, so there is something in the way of me getting what I'm attached to getting at this moment in time, and I can change the vibration of that disturbance to then get to a freer place, and it can happen with easier flow. And the control, David, the part about us thinking that we are in control is showing up to be that we've got such a minuscule actual understanding of all of the things that drive us as a human being. Each person's memory database holds an immense amount of information in the form of programming and beliefs and disbeliefs and all kinds of different programming and one other word I'm trying to think of at the moment.
Subconscious programming.
And those things are driving us and speaking to us more strongly than our mind is able to control. The conscious mind's capacity to control the situation is very small. The other thing is the amount of data that we've got in that subconscious, in the memory database, is so much more than we're aware of. And so there are many more factors that are going on and having an influence on us, whether we know about it or not. they are having an influence on us. And until we allow ourselves to open up that little bit further and perhaps help ourselves, like I've been doing with using the tools, if a person wants to. And some people don't want to do this. They don't want to wake up. Their path in life may be to come here, just experience life as it is, and not wake up. So from my point of view, if I notice a person is like that, I don't interfere with them. I don't argue with them. I stay back, let them have their path because they are where they need to be. It's not for me to say. It's a bigger plan.
I call them sleepers. But that's okay. Like you said, there's a lot of, we have a lot of internal drives and motivations that are pushing us to get our needs and wants met that we're not even aware of. And they come from so many sources. Maybe from past life sources and from higher sources and earlier in our lives. And so it's all very complicated. And it just takes that awareness of, if you're feeling bad or negative or resentful or any of those feelings or thoughts are going on within you, if you recognize those, then you know that there's something going on that maybe you're just getting the tip of the iceberg, and below the surface are those things that you're talking about that have to be sort of resolved.
That's right. This is why giving the universe time to show you what else might be possible is actually a very useful thing. I would go so far as to say that with my energy work, with the coaching work I do, I utilize an energy testing process that is extremely accurate. And at this point, I would say that we can clearly identify with that testing a memory database specific to this lifetime, beginning at conception. Very important little point.
Yes.
Not at birth, but rather
you're very
at conception.
Good at that. You're very good at
another
that.
Another entire a lifetime of data from the genetic lineage on both the mother and the father's side, and that could go back hundreds, maybe thousands of years, maybe further, with the exact determination, I don't know. I've been back in my own memory database over several tens of thousands of years in just my own. And really, there could be other lifetimes, another complete memory database, and other existences, another one. So I'm actually speaking to the identification, the clear identification of four different memory databases that we are drawing and at the influence of the information coming from that. And each person has different priority things that are bringing themselves into our awareness in this lifetime to deal with, to heal perhaps, to experience. All sorts of different things.
Mm. Yeah, we are complex human beings, and there's a lot that we have to contend with in life from all of these influences that drive us, some in our experiences. But I know that I can attest that you're very good at what you do with energy work. I've had some personal experiences with you that were very, very amazing. So
very profound.
Yeah, very profound. So could you give us your website and just... let people know, let our listeners know where you can be contacted. This was
my website is specific to the healing code. So it is www.thehealingcodes.com.au. And that site is specific to me, and there are... there's a little bit about me. There's a little bit about another coach in Australia. There are other coaches, again, that are around in Australia as well. And the Healing Codes is a program that I've utilized since the middle of 2005. And that's 9 going on 10 years. And I can tell you that the reason why I have stayed with it, very simply, it works. And my baseline for myself is I require a program that is going to be simple, fast, easy, instant healing, and it's got to work, and it's got to work all of the time. The thing that's fascinating about the Healing Codes, various different programs and ways of working with energy, using the energy that you are and universal energy, combining that, and accessing and addressing the cause of the problem vibrationally and collapsing the disturbance ones. It doesn't interfere with the ones that make you happy, happy, happy. It doesn't need to, because those are good, comfortable vibrations. It only works with collapsing non-love vibrations into love vibrations and thus filling you with more love. And the way that that works is so incredibly simple if we get our head out of the road and don't try too hard.
We need to get out of the way.
It is a mechanism. But it just works. If you employ it, it works. If you don't employ it, it doesn't work, because it's just a mechanism. And that's a very simple concept to take on. And this sort of stuff works instantly with children and animals, because they don't think. Where adults can be judging and criticizing and making thoughts run through their head about whether they think it's working or they don't, and they're basically just getting in their own way.
And that's what you have to recognize
as well. It works.
So that's really good.
And I encourage people. David,
I encourage people to contact you.
I was just going to mention, David, that I can only just hear you, but I was just going to say was going to mention there are a number of other energy tools that I also use, because for some people, they have a really strong agenda. Perhaps they have a diagnosis or a particular major fear that is interfering enormously with their life, and I love to help those people as quickly as possible, and we can utilize several different energy processes so long as the person's energy fitness level, and that's a fascinating subject all of its own.
I think we're going to have another show with you, Susan, where we can go over all of these again, these tools that you use. We have to take a break now.
So, look, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, Susan.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The energy is certainly a very different way of looking at life.
Absolutely.
And as you said, you know, it has to work. And if it works, it's important to use it.
Yes. And
I'm sure our listeners would like to have a look at your website. Thank you very much, Susan. And we'll have to bring you on the show again.
Yeah,
and
she has a lot of interesting things to say.
Yeah. So we're going to take a song break at the moment. And then come back.
It's been a delight, Lana.
Okay, be happy.
Yes, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, have a good day. Bye.
That was really interesting talking to Susan about how to learn to flow with life. And of course, what we're talking about, the topic is taking time out to live your life.
Now. In the present moment.
Right now, not tomorrow, not in 10 years' time.
And Lana and I have, you know, we've done that recently. We've been working so hard lately on so many different projects, as we always are. We have, you know, our domestic responsibilities, our professional responsibilities, her as a medical doctor, and my investigative practice, children, our work in the spiritual community, and everything that we do. We get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in trying to achieve our goals and trying to be, you know, very success-driven in accomplishing these things. And we tend to miss out on just having fun. And while we are pursuing our passion, are we having fun pursuing our passion? Are we enjoying it? And, you know, last week, we actually did go to the beach. although we did that with one of her children, which was again a challenge. And we didn't, you know, get to... I think we had some fun off and on.
But we actually said, no, we're not going to do any work today. We're going to have fun. And we did it.
And we did. And then once again last weekend, I said, enough is enough. We're going to the movies. And I don't care about the emails. I don't care about – it's not that I don't care, but this needs to be put off so that we can just do something for ourselves for 2 hours. And we did that. And, you know, and we went to visit your mom and the next day, and we did that.
So I guess it's about life balance, isn't it?
It's all about balance, yeah. It's
so I have a question for you, David. And we're not obviously the only ones in our society. Everyone we talk to is busy, 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 busy. So in terms of taking time out to live, my question is it better to focus on achieving the things you really want to get, which takes a lot of time and effort, or is it better to just relax and enjoy in a sort of a casual, in a casual way? What's more important? And if we're talking about taking time out to live your life, are we talking about pursuing your passions or laying back and relaxing?
Well, I think I always have this little saying, life is challenging, but it's not that serious. You know, we think everything is a personal crisis. Now, if you're having a war or... something is, you know, there's a catastrophe going on, that changes your perspective on things. If you're placed in a life-threatening situation, how important are those bills? And how are those important are those bills or those projects that you had going on when you're on your deathbed and about to transition over? Are you going to think back about the money that you owe, or are you going to think about, hopefully we're not thinking about regret. Hopefully we don't have regret.
Yes, I've heard that said a lot. I've read one author who said that one thing he didn't want to regret on his deathbed is not doing the things that he wanted to do. And it seems a lot of people, especially the old or the dying, will actually be focused not on what they did achieve in their life, but regretting what they didn't get.
Yeah, now, you mentioned the bucket list not too long ago, and I've written an article on the internet about the bucket list. I can't remember how it went. But you know what? When you get to the end of that bucket list, and you're still
here.
Why is
it only a bucket? A bucket isn't that big.
You want to have a really big bucket. But maybe that bucket list is bottomless, because when you get to the bottom of the bucket, you're going to create new things to do if you can. There's always going to be more things to do. There's always going to be more bills. There's always going to be more pleasurable activities.
The paying bills is not in my bucket list.
Okay, good enough. So, but even, you know, even going to France or going to Disney World or spending more time with this person or that person or making more money or whatever it is, if you're alive, you're going to have more projects and more things that you want and desire. And so you got to have fun doing that in the moment. And realize that, you know, until you're faced with death, you may not realize that what your priorities are. You may not realize what your values are. And so,
okay, so we're talking about a shift in attitude or consciousness. We're talking about just getting pleasure maybe from the little things, just being happy to be alive.
I had worked in hospice and volunteered in hospice, and I watched people dying and watched the families mourning. And I realized, you know, and even in my own life with all my losses, I mean, I've realized that I have to be happy now, because I'm only going to be here for so long. And that's the acceptance of mortality. And that's the realization of the eternal soul that I got through spiritualism and through mediumship. And realizing that now is the time to do that.
It's a different space that you go into. And I know that when we were talking before with Susan, she was talking about things not taking effort. Now, I guess I don't necessarily completely agree with that. Maybe she's right. I guess sometimes when I try to achieve things, I do put a whole lot of effort in.
I do think there's effort in manifesting and creating reality.
But maybe it's got to be pleasant effort. Maybe when it really starts to suck, maybe that's when you have to let go.
Certainly energy takes effort. Energy is about effort. But there's a way to do that in enjoying what you're doing.
Maybe effortless effort. Maybe sort of being in the flow.
Maybe non-resistance to that energy flowing through.
Maybe that is. And maybe having a stance of enjoying life while you're doing it, maybe that's what makes a difference.
And sometimes it just seems like you're not going to enjoy it when you're getting opposition and resistance from other people or situations in your life.
And maybe you should actually take stock of what's happening and look at it energetically, as Susan was suggesting.
That's called clarity. That goes through meditating and realizing the best options available to you so that you can get the best possible outcome in the situation and circumstances that you have before you, and making good decisions based on all the information available.
And as Susan suggests, maybe doing some energy healing on yourself so that your decisions are not just intellectual ones, but energetic ones. So, and look, having fun, that happiness song really does communicate that. Having fun, enjoying things, and taking time out to live as opposed to
feeling worried and anxious.
That's
you
right.
know, because if your thoughts are worried about the future outcomes, or you're regretting the past, things that were done or not done, then you're not in the moment, you're not enjoying, and you're not living life in the now. And all of these things are things that other people have talked about. We were just talking about them based on our experiences and knowledge.
Now, we've talked about taking time out to enjoy yourself. We've talked about flowing with the flow. But I'd like to also talk about putting that effort in, taking risks in life, actually doing things that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right. What about money? Oh, my goodness. Tough one. Money. You know how difficult that is, and we've been experiencing that recently. Never enough money. Yeah, that's I hear that all the time, and I do recognize that it's difficult to do things in our society without enough money to do the things that we want to do, and it's often difficult to make that money, and we do all have bills, and so...
I was actually thinking that something more extreme. I was talking about taking the risk of completely changing your point of view. For example, just being out there and taking the risk of living in a new place where money doesn't exist.
Okay.
Self-sustainable communities, actually moving from our civilization perhaps to a completely different way of being. And that's taking a huge risk.
And that, of course, that's part of our mission statement, and we do try to, and we have looked into Ubuntu with members of our network, and we are working with people like Tommy Leeser, who's in Mount Shasta with her self-sustainable living community.
We might actually be visiting
them. We may be doing that, yeah. And so that's certainly, but in the moment, of course, we're transitioning from, or at least we're in a money-based society right now, and historically I've never let money be an obstacle to the things that I want to do. And of course, it does take money at this point to do those things. And I do like what Michael Tellinger has to say about Ubuntu. I like the idea of contributionism. I thought that had more to do with bartering, which it doesn't. It actually has to do with doing things for people because you want to, and because it's not only because it's you have responsibility to other people and to yourself, but also because you want to do things, and not even because you're going to get something in return. This isn't based on the business principle of one hand washes the other, and being mutually beneficial, and reciprocity, which is typical in our system, an exchange of goods and services. This is about really being loving towards each other. And this, I think, is our message, isn't it? This is our ideal. This is what we stand for. This is about love. This is about doing things for people.
And it's also about taking stock of where you are and maybe taking the risk, giving yourself the gift of looking at things differently, of changing your whole way of being, of really looking at our civilization, how we're living, and actually asking yourself whether that's what you want.
This is a true paradigm shift.
Yes, a paradigm shift.
And of course, risk itself, life is a risk because change is a risk. And without change, nothing new can happen. No new energy can come in. So we do have to accept that change. And therefore, if we accept change, we are accepting risk. And there is always risk in life. Some risks are greater than others.
And I would argue that taking time out to live also involves risk.
It does. It takes you out of your comfort zone, and we don't want to come out of our comfort zone. But by not coming out of our comfort zone, we're saying that we're satisfied with what we have, and that we don't want to make any change. And so then we can improve upon ourselves, and that growth can happen.
And I'd like to finish off with some quotes about. These are quotes about enjoying life, but they're not all about just enjoying. Eleanor Roosevelt, the purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost. Another author says, let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Helen Keller, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. And another author, whose name is Brian Kranz from The Constant Suicide, he says, don't exist, live, get out there, explore, thrive. Challenge yourself, challenge authority, change forever, keep moving, don't stop, start a revolution. Are you happy? Have you ever been happy? Do nothing, do everything. So it's all taking time out to live is not just about having fun. It's not just about the pleasure. It's also about taking risks. And it's about moving and changing and experiencing the flow of life.
And of course, this is a mentality, and it starts from within us, as it always does. And I'm very proud of the people in our expanded circles who are doing this, our activist friends, and the people who are really making big changes in the world. And if some of them are listening, I'm really impressed with the work that they're doing. I just want to acknowledge that.
And hopefully we'll be able to bring you the radio show from the self-sustaining community, which we'll be visiting soon. So we're going to have to say goodbye now. But for everyone out there, do take time out to live. Be happy. Take risks. And we'll see you next time.
Take care. We'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love.
Bye.
Bye.